Praise the Lord. Thank you, praise team. I want to use this opportunity to say thank you to the praise team. God bless each and every one of you. They are doing a tremendous job. Put your hands together for them. Hallelujah. Yesterday was exceptional. They are very, very wonderful people. Thank you all. And I know they are very humble, but they are talented. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From the pianist to the guitarist to every one of them to the singers. And I would like us to keep them in our prayers. Now, some of them have ministry to lift up the name of Jesus. You know, I have seen people who are not worth anything close to what they are bloom up and just get out there and become great. So I'm asking God to make out of this group a great, talented people that will become platinum sellers in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. There is nothing impossible with God. And I want them to listen to the message of today and each and every one of us in any area we find ourselves performing so that our life can glorify God. You can take your seat. God bless you guys. Yesterday, people from different churches were here and they put things together. They've been practicing for this for quite a while. You know, it's dedication. They come here, they practice and so on and so forth. I also encourage us whenever they are doing things for us to give them our full support. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I want to say thank you, Lord, for bringing our brother Ken Tokwara from Nigeria, where he traveled from Emeberia, and Sister Rosie, and the children are all in the church this morning. You are welcome in Jesus' name. Amen. They traveled, and for these past couple of weeks, they've been out there showing honor to Mama, who has been a member of church, but she has passed on to glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you guys are welcome. If you have something to say, maybe after the ministration, if you just indicate and I give you opportunity to say something. But let's go to the word of God this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's take our reading from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, and verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. Glory be to God. 1 Peter 2, 9. I want us to read together. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the title of the message this morning is Choosing and Peculiar Generation. Choosing and Peculiar Generation. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
When we finish this morning, you will understand your position as a choosing generation and what God chose you for and what you are supposed to do with it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For information, I want to say that a generation is usually a period of 30 years to maybe 70 years, give or take, depending on the situation. A generation in the Bible. It may be different in the world, but going by what the Bible has shown, a generation is between 30 to 70 years. The priesthood or the rabbis, the teachers in the Bible times, cannot become a priest. A rabbi, if you do not attain to the age of 30 years. That is the age of maturity. That's a generation. And Jesus Christ did not go into his ministry to fulfill all scriptures until he was 30. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Prior to that time, we didn't hear much about him. A generation, I'm just going to use one example in each of these. A generation of 40 years, we can see in the children of Israel when they left the land of Egypt. That was a generation in captivity. And they left the land of Egypt to the promised land. And because of sin and mistakes they made, they were there for 40 years on the road. And that was a generation. And that generation was due to sin and mistakes and failure to go according to God's word. They walked around, round for 40 years until all of them died, except for Caleb and Joshua. That shall not be our portion in Jesus' name. Our generation shall see the coming of Christ, and you will be able, in the time appointed, enter into the promised land, not like them that didn't enter. 70 years was the children of captivity. If you look at the book of Daniel, the Bible starts to tell us that Jeremiah prophesied beforehand that they will be in captivity for this period of time. And they were in captivity for that 70 years. Daniel started to study the book and saw that the prophecy of Jeremiah was about to come to pass. That generation that went into captivity was about to end. And towards that end, he starts praying for the deliverance, for the forgiveness, for God to restore Israel to himself again. And so that is another generation. So we can see different generations in the Bible, in times, God time zones, and so on and so forth. Every generation have probably two types of things. These are what we try to do, a teaching message, but anytime we are doing a teaching message, it's very hard. Because in teaching, you do demonstration, you go into details, you kind of, even in those days, we use board to write and show what we mean, show graphs and stuff, but we don't have that within time we have here, 30, 40 minutes to preach, and so we just cut it to where hopefully you can understand, and you can go into the Bible and study more. The generations are usually made up of godly and ungodly people, groups, individuals. So in each generation, there are good people, there are bad people. The example of the bad people in each of the generation I called was Pharaoh, was in his generation. God also chose him for a purpose. So God chose Pharaoh for a purpose, but what was the purpose? God chose him so that he can show his power to the whole world. But to show his power, he chose him because of his hard-heartedness. This is a man that his own people, his own priest and his own counselors came to him and said, look, we've been going through this punishment of God, all this thing, and we don't think he's going to abate because this is the finger of the Lord. In other words, cut a deal. Let the children of Israel go and worship God as they wanted for 3 days out there. But he said, who is this Lord that I should listen to him? He stuck to his gun, and the end result was Egypt was destroyed. His own life and the life of his people were destroyed crossing the Red Sea because he would not listen. He was choosing for that purpose. He was dedicated. God said, I appointed him for this reason, because it's time to judge the Egyptians for 400 years of bondage and the impunity that they meted out to the people of God, which God had and waited for them to turn around, but they wouldn't turn, and so judgment came upon Egypt. Example of another person who is in a generation was choosing for a reason. Nebuchadnezzar was choosing for a reason. He was choosing to also show that God is God, amen, and that none, be you a king or mighty, that you cannot go against the Most High God. But he was choosing also to be as a rod of correction, instrument of punishment to the world as of then. So this man was appointed, God called him my servant. Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. And part of his job was he took the children of Israel to captivity. He was ruler over all the kingdoms of the earth. In the dreams of Daniel, he was like a mighty tree, and all the birds of the air was taking shadow, and this tree spread. That means the kingdoms of the whole earth. He was a master of the whole earth, an emperor of the whole earth. But for what? For judgment. Because people will not bow down and listen to the king, to God, the Most High God, which is our God. Now, God said of you, you are a chosen generation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. A chosen generation, a called out people, a separate people that God has brought into his kingdom to show forth his excellence and to show forth his marvelous light to the whole world. That is what God has called you, called me, called us to be. And this is a call that we ought to heed. And this is a call that makes us a peculiar and a different people from the people around us. As I said, there are generations, different types, the generations of the righteous and the generations of the unrighteous, the generations of the godly and the generation of those who are not godly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But you are a generation of the godly. Now, when we talk of God's purpose is to make of you and me and the whole nation, he said, kingdom of priests. Kingdom of priests and what? A kingdom of a holy nation. Nation. In the days of the old, before the torn curtain, you know, there's a curtain that used to divide the temple of the Lord. I said, this is supposed to be a teaching. We're going to make it also a preaching and try to cut it as much as we can. In those days, in the temple of the Lord, there are three tabernacles, almost in the same one. The outer court, the inner court, and then the Holy of Holies. The Holy of the Holies was divided with a curtain so thick that you have to have a knife to cut it. That is how thick it is, woven. And in this Holy of Holies, only the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies once a year. But he cannot go into it without first sanctifying himself with the blood. He cannot go into it without preparing himself. In fact, when he wants to go in, they used to tie a bell on his ankle in case if he has a heart attack or God kill him inside there. No other person can go. They have to pull him out when the bell stops ringing or start moving around. So things like this was so that only the priest, now the priest was ordained by God to be a mediator between man and God. That's what God ordained the priest to be in those days. A priest was ordained by God to mediate between God and man. So they are the oracle, the voice of God to mankind in those days. You want to seek the Lord, you go through them and so on and so forth. Now, the royal priesthood are ordained by the king. The king ordained by the counselors of the king or choosing by his counselor of the king to be the royal priesthood. The purpose of the royal priesthood is to guide the king, the kingdom, in ordinances, in law, in understanding all the customs and the ways of the Lord and guide them in that way so that the kingdom will prosper to come to the knowledge of God. Holy nation, meaning that the whole nation will have a knowledge of God, even as he prophesied in the letter, they say that all earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. That is the purpose of God, why the priests are there. But these priests have a duty to do. One of these duties, I want to give you an example. Josiah was a under the tutelage of the royal priesthood. And he became the best, one of the best king of all Israel. He was a toddler when his father, who is evil, was killed. And the training, the guidance of this Josiah, when he was just a 2 or 3 years old, was given to priests. And these priests were supposed to be holy, and they tutored him in such a way that, to God's glory, this young man became one of the best kings. He kept to the ordinances of God. He feared God. He took Israel from idolatry to the serving of the Most Holy God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what we are supposed to be when God says, kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God then, in the New Testament, ordered the dispensation of no more the law. There are different dispensations in the Bible. Dispensation of law, and now just to cut it down to the basis, law and grace. Under the dispensation of grace, what happened is that the ordinary man, ordinary person, a nobody like me and you, have access to Christ, has access to the kingdom of God. We are automatically made a kingdom of priests by God. Each and every one of us become a chosen generation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. To indicate that there is this cutting that used to cut off everybody, except for the high priest. They say that when Jesus Christ passed, when he died and breathed his last, what happened? He said the cut without a hand, nobody did it, was cut in twain. That thing that me and you could not see before, the seat of mercy, the burden rod of Aaron, the ark of the covenant, become exposed to everybody. Generality of believers have access to the kingdom of God. So God have called you to be a chosen generation. A chosen generation is none other than a believer who have recognized their position, have recognized who they are in the Lord, and choose to follow Christ, choose to live according to the precepts of God's word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is important that you know who you are in Christ. Many a times when we come here to speak, we say you must, you should, you have to come to the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Or you are just somebody that is seeing. No, this morning we are talking of the Holy Spirit. And I was sitting there and saying, who among us seriously have sought the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Papa was saying something that maybe you guys missed. He didn't want to point it. He said, some of the people who spoke in tongues are practically lying because they have no gift even to speak. They're just making noise. And you want to know how I know? I was trying that myself. One time, I became a believer. A young lady, I had a crush on this young lady, was good enough to point me and say, what you have is natural, but you need the Holy Spirit. And I really want to have this Holy Spirit. Her name is Ngozi. And she pointed me to Christ, and I started going from church to church. Anywhere where there is crusade, you find me there, because I want the Holy Spirit. I seriously wanted it. That is the kind of desire that opens door for Christ to come in. One day, after having transgressed everywhere, nothing happened. I went to this place where there is an IMT, Enugu. I went there and this mighty man of preaching to hundreds or thousands of people. I was one of those people that came. Everybody there was shouting and shouting in the Holy Spirit, I believe, that I decided, well, nothing is happening to me. I'm not getting it. So let me join them and make noise. I started shouting and in tongue like everybody. I mean, I was more noisier than any of them. And as I was shouting, God decided to teach me a lesson. One lady was dancing around in a hobnail shoe. You know this kind of shoe that you guys wear that is 4 inches? She was just dancing around and jumping and just blew, bam, in my sandal. That punctured a hole through everything I wore. And my eyes cleared. I didn't speak in tongue again. That's how my tongue ended that day. But one day, when it is appointed, as I keep seeking the Lord, I saw a track in a dustbin. I picked it up, and that was from Hagen Ministry. I don't know who put it there. The Lord put it there. He was talking of how he desired the Holy Spirit. How he wanted it, and he went there, and they tell him for it. And he gave a word that made a revelation change in my life. That word was that you do not have to wait for what was already given. You just have to take it. I say for real, I was in my sister's house. As of that time, I was going through persecution that if I so much as pray, my family and people were putting a lot of problem in my life before being a Christian. So I left that place I was staying, my sister, and went to Abapanike to one brother, Benja. I said, why do you come to my house so late in the night? I say, I'm here to receive the Holy Spirit. He looked at me like this and went into his bedroom, and Father made food and we ate. I wasn't fasting anything. As I was finished eating and he went to his bedroom, I was in the living room, one bedroom apartment or two bedroom. I was praying, and suddenly, as God is my witness, out of nowhere, a funnel was pushed inside my mouth, and I saw oil. The hand was pouring it, but I don't see who. And my stomach continued to grow until my stomach was like a pregnant woman, or more than a pregnant woman. It has to burst out. And inside me, came a sound I have never known. A sound I don't recognize. A sound I can't interpret till today. I was speaking in tongues for about 3 or 4 hours. I only came out of this trance when the brother was shouting in his own room, praising God, because I came to his house in the night, told him why I came. He saw the manifestation. I wasn't aware of what is going on. I came out of that, and today, that gift of God. And when God gave me that gift that night, he said there are 3 things that is accompanying your gift. He named those things, and they are still operational in my life today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord, everybody. You have to know who you are. You have to believe in who you are. If you believe that you are a chosen generation, you have to act like a chosen generation. You have to live like a chosen generation. And being a chosen generation cannot be easy. Now, let me make another point that may help you today. Many of us are choosing for a purpose, but we don't know it. I'll name some, as we go along, I'll name some few. Man, we are not just born and put here for no reason. God does not waste space or anything. He uses everything he can find, and if you make yourself available, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, if God have a purpose or a job or something he wants done, at times I wonder, why did God choose somebody like this to do this? He is not qualified. He doesn't look like anything qualified. He can never be qualified in my own point of view. I found out that God, in his wisdom, at times put the blessings, the anointing, on the purpose, on the job, on his own plan. And then he will pick anybody that is prepared. You have to have something in you that will guide you towards that. And God will take you and put you that. And the anointing on the job, anointing on God's purpose, anointing on God's plan will catch up with you in Jesus' name. In other words, you are not qualified. This is a job I have. I put my blessing that it is time for. I'm going to give examples this morning. God will take a nobody like me and you and put, and others will be wondering, what is Emmanuel doing preaching? What is that brother? I hear one brother telling me of a man who was such a drunkard and stuff. When he started to minister, say, what is he doing there? He was so much out of it that there's no way a human perception, a human understanding can come to knowledge that what is he doing there? He doesn't belong there. But that's an instrument that God prepared for that particular purpose to get to something in him. You are not alone if you say to yourself, I am not qualified. You are not alone if you say to yourself, I cannot fit into this shoe. There was a man in Israel called Gideon. Gideon in the Bible was a son of a high priest of Baal. He was a coward because there was a time in this era that there was a 7 years of the Midianites was over Israel and making their life miserable. Everything they cultivated is taken from them. Their life is not free. Everything. So Gideon was in the bush preparing the corn and stuff to hide. He wasn't out to fight the war or anything, and suddenly a man appeared to him and said, blessed of the Lord, mighty man of valor or something like that. And he looked around and said, is he addressing somebody else or me? He said, me? Yeah. What did you just call me? Blessed of the Lord and a mighty man of valor. That is a warrior. That is somebody that can fight a battle and win and so on and so forth. Like me and you, he started telling Lord, I don't think so. He doesn't know who is an angel of the Lord. He started saying, look, my father's house are poor. I'm not qualified. I'm the least among the least among my brethren. He started giving reasons why he is not qualified to do a job that God has chosen him to do. And these are all correct. The angel listened to him and still called him, you are going to go in the strength of the Lord and accomplish the purpose for which you are created. I'm telling you today, there is a purpose of God in each and every one of us life. And you may look at yourself and say, I am not qualified. I am not there yet. I couldn't be there because of where I am. I'm telling you that you are seen as a man. You are seen as a woman. And God sees like God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our measurement, our idea, our opinion does not tarry with God's way or God's plan. He can take the worst of the worst among us and make something out of it in the mighty name of Jesus. He can take you from your pit. You say, hey, I don't have it. I'm not educated, like many will say. I am not talented, like some will say. I'm not this. It does not matter. And your calling can be in any aspect of God's plan. You might have been choosing to lead in the praise of the Most High God. You might have been choosing to be an intercessor. You might have been choosing to win souls. You may be that you are one of those who love to give and bless people, but you are dead broke. And God is looking and saying, you are choosing to be a rich man so that you can bless others because this is what is in you. And you say, how can that be done? And that is why you remain where you are when God already said, hey, I deign Emmanuel to be rich, to be affluent, to be wealthy, because he loves to give, and that is why I choose him, so that he can bless other people with the resources I have. And I keep minimizing myself. I keep putting myself down that I am not there. If you don't believe in what God has said, God is not going to force you into it. You have to come in alignment with the plan of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For that thing to be fulfilled in your life, you have to agree with God and say, yes, Lord, it is true. The same thing happened to David. He was not qualified. He was not there yet. He was just a shepherd. A common shepherd. No prayer warning. Samuel was sent. But there is an anointing of God that Israel is drifting from God. And Saul, when he was small in his own eyes, was appointed. He suddenly became big. And so God took David and called Samuel to go and anoint him. Samuel did not believe in David. Neither did his father's house. When they asked, okay, welcome Samuel, you're a great man, you are visiting us. They killed a goat, killed. I said, we are not going to eat until I have anointed whom God have anointed. God did not show him who. God did not point the name or anything. He just said, there's somebody in the house of this man that you are going to anoint. So technically, they brought the elders. No. They bring the other one. No. Until six or seven of them have come and gone. And the man that God has anointed and asked Samuel to come and fulfill was not even invited to the party. And he asked the father and said, is there no other person in this house? Is there no other child in this house? Any other person in this house? All these things, your son that look like a king, the second one that look like a king, no, God has not taken any of them. He said, well, there is one that is in somewhere in the bush, somewhere, taking care of the sheep. We barely see him. And so, go bring him. And the brother said, this is the Lord's anointed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Anybody choosing, for most of the time, you don't feel like you can fit. Moses was not fit. Even after training of many years, about 40 years in the place he ran away for his life, he said, I can't speak. I can't do it. I'm not qualified for this job. And God said, you know what? Forget that. I'm going to give Aaron to help you speak. He's going to be your prophet. You speak from him and speak through him, and so on and so forth. And he was not feel does not feel like he belongs. Even Paul, who was chosen to be the apostle of the New Testament, look at his life. Yesterday he was killing Christians. Yesterday he was there destroying the people of God. And suddenly God met him away and said, you have been chosen to do this great job. And so, how am I going to do it? He went there because he was blind. His blindness was taken away, healed, and so forth. And he had to leave to the desert of Arabia for 3.5 years to study the word of God, to study the ABCD of the word of God. And God honored his word. The anointing on the job caught up with him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You are not choosing because of your full ability. You are not choosing because of your knowledge. You are not choosing because of what you think you might be. But there is something that God sees in each one of these people that ordinary eyes cannot see, that even they themselves cannot understand or see. But God, being God, has seen it. So you are here this morning and you are feeling down and out. You are watching on the TV and you are feeling, I don't belong. You are there watching or hearing me this morning, or will hear me later on and say, who am I that the eternal God, the creator of the heavens and earth, will account me worthy to be chosen? A chosen generation. Do you know that if you understand this, you learn to walk like a chosen generation? If you really believe it, you can't see yourself as a nobody. Not in pride, not in any way exaggerating yourself or anything, but you have an inner understanding of who you are in Christ. That will make you, when certain things stand on you, you look at them and say, you are nothing. Because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know where I belong. I know the realm, as some brethren used to say, the realm I'm coming from. It is a higher realm, exalted realm. You are blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. You are doubly honored in the mighty name of Jesus. The eternal God, the blood that saved you, is not just the ransom that was paid for you. It's not ordinary one that is made up of money or silver or gold. It is the blood of God that brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So when people try to put you down, or when you are putting yourself down, or when circumstances seem to put you down, everything around you shows you to be ragged, of no consequences or whatever, remember, always remember that you are a chosen generation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And that God has called you out. He knows you by name. He said to Jeremiah, even before, when you were in your mother's womb, I know you. And I ordained you to do what? To dominate. To control the kingdoms. That whoever you say goes down, they go down. If anybody you say goes up, that is the authority we have as the choosing of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But do you know why we are living where we are? Do you know why we are still at this low estate we find ourselves? Because we don't have confidence to believe the way God believed for us. We have not in us that knowledge of what we are in the eyes of the Lord. The esteem, the high esteem, the high regard that the Most High God has for you, for coming to Christ Jesus, for accepting him as your Lord and Savior, for coming into the household of faith, for being what you are, a child of God, and you still look yourself down, you still lower yourself to a nothing. You are nothing, you are great in Jesus' mighty name. Believe it, and your story will start to change. You walk like a princess, you talk like a princess, you become a princess of God, you become a king, a prince in the kingdom of God. What can be higher than this, that Jesus Christ loved you and died for you? And I tell you, you say, oh, he died for the whole world. Yeah. But if you are the only sinner in this world, Jesus Christ will still have come because, say, of all my sheep, even if one is lost, I do what? You leave the rest of them and continue looking for even one single one that is lost. If man, an ordinary man, creation of God can do that, how much more God? If you were the only sinner in this world, Jesus would have still have come for you. That is how much you are worth to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? The path of the choosing are not usually very easy. When you start to realize the estate where God has placed you, and you start to reach out to it, there will be challenges. Nehemiah was choosing to come and repair the walls of Jerusalem. He was sitting in the foreign land where he was a captive. And his brethren came to visit from Jerusalem and said, how fares the father's land? And they say it is in terrible shape. The walls are broken. The gates are all torn down. There is nothing functional. We are an easy target for all the enemies. We don't have any protection. He went into mourning, and then suddenly came before the king. The king said, I'm going to send you back. Why are you mourning? He said, because the land, the burial place of my fathers is open. The home, everything is ransacked by the enemies around. He said, well, I'm going to send you back to do that. And God, using this king, chose Nehemiah to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem and repair his gates and restore the people of God. And when he started building, do you know who came on the scene? The Sambalat and the Tobiases of this world. They look and say, what does he think he's doing? He said, we will stop it, we will destroy it, we will pull down, we will make an end. That even if a fox climbs onto the wall, they are building, the whole thing will crumble. How much more us? That is what will happen on the part of those that are choosing to serve the Lord, that are choosing to dedicate their life in the service of, that knows their position. Moses stepped out to do the will of God. The gents and jambres of this world came in to oppose him. From every angle, they came to oppose him because of what? Because he is out to do the will of God. But blessed be the name of the Lord, there is always God in us. Even the Christians, the born-again Christians of the early stage, we heard of what happened. He said that when God had chosen this portion from the crowd, and they were secluded in the upper area, tower, upper deck of the house and praying, and then there's an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And something that never, they don't know about, never happened before happened. And they start to speak with new tongues. How did the world interpret it? They were laughing them. They put them to scorn and say, they have drunk a new wine. There must be a new breed of wine or drug that they did. They laughed them to scorn. But out of these people, God has reached the whole earth to bring light to this world. What am I saying is that when you have come to Christ, giving your life to Christ, become part of this God's choosing generation. Don't think that it will be easy going. There will be challenges. But by the grace of God, you will emerge. You will come to where God has placed you. Whether it be in a ministry, whether it be that you are choosing to sweep or to open the gate for others, whether it be that you are an intercessor, whether it be that it's a missionary call, whether it be that God decided to raise you up financially to be a blessing to others because he's seen in your heart that you can give. There are so many areas that God can call an individual or group. The bottom line is that you are a choosing generation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Called forth to show the marvelous light of our great God. Amen. Now let us quickly look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 to 5. Now, these are the opposite of what you will be. I spoke in the beginning of the ungodly generation. The godly generation will be opposite of this. Let us look at what happens in the world today and compare. What do you see there? For men shall be lovers of their own self in this generation. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. But God has called you to be what? A holy generation. Go to verse 3, please. Without natural affection. The affection is all over. They don't know if they're a man, a woman, or whatever they are. They are truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. When you are a choosing generation, expect the world to despise you, to try to put you down. That never worries me. When I understood. What worries me is when you are putting yourself down. When you are not turning up like a prince that God has made you. When you are not showing up like a princess that God has made you. When you are talking and subduing yourself other than what God has made you to be. That is what bothers me, and that's what I see among many believers. We are not tagging along with God's plan. Where God has put us in an exalted position. Some of us are still afraid of what that native doctor can do. Some of us will see any kind of pieces of stuff in front of their house or whatever in their car and win bananas. Some of us, we can still see these things and say, oh, you don't know who you are if you cannot stand up and say, to those things, you are nothing to me. I am tired. My star is attached to the greatest star, and that is the star of David, the mighty Lord Jesus Christ. What can you exactly do to me? Go on, please, verse 3. We're on 3. Can you put it back on? The place we're reading, go on, please. Put it back on. 3. And 2 Timothy. Okay. 4. This generation will be without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and then we go to 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said to me and you, from such turn away. Do not get mixed up with them. Do not believe like them. Do not become like them. For God has called you to a peculiar position, a peculiar people. Who are the peculiar ones? The peculiar ones are strange to this world. The peculiar ones are, definition of peculiar, strange, odd, oddballs. But that is exactly what we are to the world, not to the mighty God. Can you imagine somebody that was supposed to be a prince, denying the whole world, denying Egypt, denying the pleasure of Egypt, to be attached, to be tagged with people of the Lord who are despised? That's what makes you peculiar. The ability of you to carry the cross and follow Jesus. He set you apart from everything that is known. Because the norm is that you are going to attach to these things. Moses gave us an example. He said, forsaking in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Let's read it quickly. Hebrews 11, 25 and 26. Hebrews 11, 25, 26, please. Okay. The book of Hebrews, I think somebody knew it's on the board. Hebrews 11, 25, okay, say, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he has respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, a peculiar people, what makes you peculiar is your ability to separate from this world, your ability to see yourself as a different person, your ability to carry the cross and follow Jesus Christ in every aspect of your life. Our teaching this morning is for you to realize who you are in Christ, a chosen generation. Many people are under depression today because of so much affliction on one thing or the other. And many of us are even believers. I know it is a sickness, it's an affliction, it's something and so forth, but if you can start to attach yourself, because many of these things is a product of how things are with you, how things are not going right. Like Gideon was seeing everything negative. I'm from a house that is poor. My father is priest of Baal. I have nothing to offer to God. I cannot be what you are looking for. He started making all these excuses. We also specified that Moses made the same excuse, I cannot speak. And many a times he read to depression because the enemy has crowded your eyes to see the glory of God in you, to see the high esteem that the creator of heaven and earth has placed me and you, to see who you are to God, not just any person but a son and a daughter of the Most High God, to see that he has chosen you as a chosen generation and a peculiar people, called forth to show forth his glory to this dying world. And when we do not see these things and allow all these minor things that is on the sides to strengthen us or to give us strength to continue walking, and if we are not careful, we go under. We start getting depressed. We start getting tired. We start getting fearful. We start have to look for options to get out of these things. Brethren, God has called us to a high position. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As we round up, as a woman from my tribe, her name is Sinach, but her real name is Ife Sinachi. My tribal woman, that means this is from God. She verbalized this in her name that she sang the song, Choosing Generation. Start to say in her word that I am a choosing generation called forth to show God's excellence. And she made a point there that I want us also to attach on, which goes with the message this morning. He said, hey, all I require, amen, for this job, for this position, for what I am, and what God planned is already in me. Amen. God has programmed you, programmed in you, everything you require for this job. The diamond in the rough is not you, really. You have to take this diamond and wash it and scrub it and brush it to see the brightness of God in you. Do not worry about the situation that is going on in your life right now. It has nothing to do with God's intention. It is only going to be taken away for the true manifestation of who you are in Christ to show. He said, hey, all I require in life, God has given me because of what? I know who I am. That is from Sinach. Then he says, you may see me now as nobody, but he said, take a deeper look. Look the second time. He said that I am walking in power. I am walking in miracle. I live a life of favor. Because what? I know who I am. Take a look at me and you see a wonder. Blessed be the name of the Lord. She caught it so right, taking from this scripture we read this morning. That's the lady Sinach. She caught it so right and described it in such a way that this her song has transformed many a life, gone to different churches all over the whole world. He said, take a look at me. You are seeing a wonder, a creation of God. It does not matter what you see now. Can you see his glory? Can I see the glory of God in your life? Yes. And at times you don't see it yourself. That's the painful part. Is that God is seeing his glory in you. His Shekinah glory is upon you. You need to see it yourself. Let's stand on our feet, brethren. Father, we are here. We are seeing the glory upon your people. Open our eyes, Lord, to see who we are truly in Christ. Lord, help this generation. The church is almost like the ember is fading. It's like in the days of Samuel, he said there was no more open world. There's no more open vision. Eli, that was appointed from the children of Levi to do this, was fast asleep. His children was running amok. The word of God in that generation was ebbing. Then you brought forth a young, small child, a product of the mother crying out from her soul for a son, for a child. And you gave a special child called Samuel, and then you restored the world in that generation. Restore the world in our generation, Lord. So that coming to church is not just coming to show up, dressed up for it. So that the hunger, the desire, the esteem, the level you have placed us will manifest in our life again in the mighty name of Jesus. That people can look at us and see the wonder in us. That we can look at ourselves and see the wonder in ourselves. That we can see what God sees in me, that is willing to give everything heaven has for one single sheep, for one single soul. The world is trying to tear you down. Do not let it. Circumstances is trying to tear you down. Do not let it. The enemy has brought every kind of imagination of bondage to bear upon us in this hour. But know that you are a chosen generation, a called out people, separate by God for a purpose, that you might show forth his excellence, his praise to this generation, and that the glory might be to the Lord. Now let us believe that God is able to bring it to pass. See yourself for what you are from today, and God will give you grace. The purpose will bring the anointing to your life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord.